And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Daily Dots. I am flying solo. My man, the brain trust himself, Chase Taylor, he's still out. He'll be back on Wednesday. So we'll be able to get all his wonky information and pick his brain about anything he's been seeing going on. He sent me a funny picture, actually. It was right at the Open the other day. And again, he's on the other side of the country. And he sends me a picture. He's like, yeah, I'm still logged in. I'm plugged in. In the hotel room, he had set up two different monitors. he was getting to, hey, that's why we hire him, right? We say all the time. We're workhorses here, not show horses. So I am flying solo. Couple little housekeeping things. Had some issues last week with the dots. We missed two episodes because I had a last minute trip I had to take out to Phoenix. It wasn't really last minute, but I had to leave about 36 hours before I was supposed to. For a variety, nothing crazy. Nothing bad anyway. just scheduling and stuff like that. So we missed a couple days. So usually that's not going to happen. I think that's actually the first legitimate day we've missed. There've been some days where they haven't put it up or anything like that or mistakes. And then one other thing, just so you guys know, an interview got posted last week with Tony Greer, good friend of the show. Love him. We do not, obviously I don't swear on any podcasts. But I don't really enforce that with our guests too much. And the reason why is interviewing people is a lot more challenging than it sounds. And I want them to be able to express themselves and I want to get them talking without thinking, right? You want to hear their thought process. So what we end up doing is we typically end up going through and editing those things out. I know we'll have some listeners that are upset about it. They listen to it in front of their kids and things like that. It was nothing crazy, but apparently a ball got dropped between me and one of the producers and they missed it. So anyway, I apologize for anybody if they heard that in front of their kids or whatever. Like I said, it was just one or two comments. Tony's a great guy, but when we get talking, you get talking shop in this business and colorful language usually comes out. So anyway, but we're back at it today. It's kind of one of those funny kind of deals where everything and nothing are all happening all at once. Nothing really of note today. I think the biggest thing I know, I mean, NASDAQ finished up 0.82% at 16,100, back below its all-time high. S&P, I believe, is sitting in the same space, 5149. Again, still sitting below its all-time high that it's made recently. The move that I saw today, the only one really of note is crude up 2.33. What you saw today, though, the 10-year yield was up pretty solidly, 4.34, 0.84% on the day. So you're back above that 4.25 level. If you're sitting back looking at a chart on this bad boy, it looks like it's going to run straight to 5. And that probably explains the indexing moves. So NASDAQ up 0.8, almost the exact mirror opposite is Russell down 0.7. Welcome to more financial nihilism, guys. Why higher rates mean higher prices for the NASDAQ? I don't know. You're just continually in no man's land. And I will tell you, interestingly enough, it's not getting any crazier. I mean, the moves in some of the crypto space are. But it's just a market that really just has very little affiliation, for lack of a better term, with rational pricing, with fundamental pricing really of any kind. And I don't really know how to explain it other than that. I mean, there's stuff, right? I don't want to color with too broad a brush here. Not everything is over, right? We've talked about this. There's plenty of opportunities out there. And I think there's stuff out there that is attractive. But generally speaking, it's just kind of remarkable to watch this market continue to blush off things that it probably shouldn't. People are like, well, that's your opinion. Yeah, it is my opinion. But I mean, when you're looking at valuations where they're currently at and you look at the risks that the world is facing, when I see yields up healthy like a day today, it just no stock market shouldn't be up. People are like, oh, that. And hey, look, anything can happen on a one-off day. I'm just saying, when you're in the regime that we're in right now, right, what is the biggest threat to the quote-unquote growing economy? It's higher rates. Period. You know, end of story. What is the biggest threat to the economy if you're thinking about the strong economy narratives out there? It's a resurgence of inflation and the Fed having to go even higher on rates. I don't think they're going to have to do that. But what I'm saying is you're just watching a market that it's just really odd. It's just really odd to see it. It does its own thing every single day, almost regardless of the underlying data or news. And other days it does the exact opposite of what the data and news should make it. And again, that's not me trying to tell markets what to do. I want everybody to understand this. It's me saying that, you know, when interest rates go up like they have over the last couple, it's just not good for anything. It's not good for the valuations, right? All investments are somewhat, you know, it's all relative, right? The world of investing is relative. Anyway, so you just continue to see this mess. Really interesting to me that you have the market still knocking around all-time highs here with rates threatening to break out again to the upside. Again, not interesting. Again, nothing of fundamental importance really matters. Funny move you see in Google today. Google was up 6%, 7% at one point on the day. It finished up 4.44 because all of a sudden there was a rumor about Apple potentially using Gemini. That's another example. All of a sudden now Google is a part of the AI deal when it wasn't before. I've just never seen a market believe so many stupid things over such shorter periods of times. I've never seen a market where you're like, well, not this consistently anyway. I don't want to be too hyperbolic. It's not like it's breathtaking, crazy, you know, nut stuff is happening every single day. It's just odd to see these moves, you know, that are just so nonsensical, right? One of the reasons we've held onto our Google position and even added to it on weakness is it makes no sense that it hasn't run up as much as these other ones have. It just doesn't. And then all of a sudden one day, some report that comes out, which is probably the worst AI thing they've got in the you know, up their sleeve, right? Their woke AI, right? That comes up that lead. It's just what it looks like to me and what it feels like to me is just that just retail market monkeys are running the market. The other thing I noticed, a guy was posting a thing on Twitter the other day, was talking about, he was looking at stock reactions to analyst upgrades and downgrades. And it's just funny because it's this market has started to treat analyst upgrades and downgrades as if they're earnings reports. That's just not the way it works. Analysts are as wrong as often as they're right. I can't really put it any different than that. You're just watching, you know, markets react in ways that they just wouldn't, that they just don't react that way. The professional investors don't react that way. The other thing, you still got everything going nuts. Where we at Bitcoin? Bitcoin has settled down a little bit. Let's check where we're at on that. Where are we at there? 67,000. So down a little bit. One pulled back from its all-time high. Let's see, where are we at? 5 days. Yeah, you were as high as 73,000 on Thursday of last week. So you've pulled back a little bit from that. I don't really think you can infer too much one way or the other here. You know, again, my messages will still stay the same to everybody regarding, you know, Bitcoin and all. Just adhere to the technicals. And if you don't know what that means, don't trade it. it's that simple. There is no intrinsic value there. There's no cash flows, despite what people will tell you. What's really crazy, though, is what's going on in some of the other ones. And that's another frustrating, that's another fascinating thing about this market in general, guys, is just how you think that these bubbles pop and then they reemerge on ridiculous stuff, right? So like this new coin out, I'm not sure exactly when it came out, but fairly recently, it's called I've mentioned this before, Dog Whiff Hat, WIF. Let's see, where did it go here? You're trading at 273 a coin, And that puts it at $2.7 billion market cap. dog whiff hat. Okay, these are just signs that bubbles are very much not over. Where these coins are going, guys, I don't know. And I will just generally tell you, you know, you want to play around in the coin game and take some shots, be my guest. If you hold the vast majority of these for too long, you'll end up with zero. They're not worth anything. People are like, well, you don't know their function. Look, when you can create something out of thin air, out of nowhere, and just launch it as a coin, all of a sudden it's got a $2.7 billion, that's a bubble, okay? 100%. And the tough thing about those is that people are like, well, I don't. No, you don't. No, you don't, because it's not worth anything, okay? Which means stuff like that, and you've seen it before in some of these coins. So the amount of financial nihilism out there is just shocking to me. You've seen it before. That's the kind of coin that you wake up and it's down 99% in 24 hours. There's just nothing there. And truthfully, with all this stuff, there's nothing there. There's nothing there with Bitcoin. People are like, oh, you don't understand. Yes, I do. And I like Bitcoin, but I need to also be realistic about the things that I hold. Okay, there is no intrinsic value in Bitcoin. None. Does that mean I think it's going to zero? No, we own some. Not a lot, but we own some. But that's just a reality. It doesn't create any cash flows. So you got to keep this stuff in mind. And here's the funny thing. You're not going to listen to guys like me warn you about it. Most of you aren't anyway. And you know, price movement is not truth. Meaning, you know, that stuff could triple from here. It could triple from here in a week. And it's just amazing to me how in this market, price movement has somehow become reality. People are like, well, you're wrong. It went up. That happens in bubbles all the time. I'll tell you, and you can see it. This is why you've seen it before happen in crypto world. And I'll just give you a warning right now that you can adhere to and take to the bank if you don't want to listen to me. You stay in those long enough and they will go no bid, which means the only bids out there will be to sell it. And that's when you go to 99% drops instantly. When a market goes no bid, everybody's value goes away instantly. And that's what'll happen. We've seen it happen with some of these coins before, right? This isn't some wild prognostication on my part. But, you know, these are the tough parts. And I'll just tell you, and we've said this before, and I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but these are the tough parts where in these periods of times, you got to sit back and look at yourself as an investor and kind of steel yourself against the madness, because you're like, hey, I know this is nonsense, but I also know that if I'm recognizing it as nonsense, it's probably going to go on and last a bit longer. And regardless of how long it lasts, when there is no intrinsic underlying value, meaning it's a coin called dog whiff hat. Could I be wrong? I mean, I suppose I could, but I'll take that bet every single day, meaning I'll short garbage like that all the time. Now, would I short it in this market? No, I wouldn't short it in this market. Why? Because this market doesn't care. You could come out with the inventor of dog with hat could say it was completely worthless, like they've done before. That'd probably make it rally. And I think, I honestly think the most pernicious thing about all of this is how long it has lasted and how much the Fed and the government have participated in juicing this thing. And so every single time you bounce back, you lend credibility to it. Everybody's like, see, it came back. You were wrong again. And what that means is you're just going to suck in more investors, right? People are like, you don't know what's about. Yes, guys, you got to be kidding me. But like we said, just because it's a bubble doesn't mean any of this stuff cannot go way up. And regarding on where we see that right now, are we going way up? Are we going? I don't really. Right now is very confusing to me. I would have thought, you know, maybe that's what this market needs. Maybe it's just really trying to force a rate hike. This area though is really scaring me, because when I look at the underlying data, the Fed absolutely should not cut here. What they need to do, well, they need to reduce liquidity, but they're not going to do it. But also, I don't think they can cut here. So at some point, you know, if we keep going like we are, at some point, the market's going to get that message. And I think the market's still pricing two cuts this year. I Because I will say this, I don't think, at least for where I'm sitting today, I don't think the blow off top scenario that we've been talking about, I don't think it can happen unless, well, I shouldn't say can't happen. Anything can happen, especially in this market. But I just feel like that's a bit much to ask if they don't cut or if they don't unleash some new liquidity funding. But watch out for some new type of new funding or some new refinance vehicle for corporate real estate. And I think we talked about that a little bit last week. I just watching some of these default numbers come in and looking at how big they are. They're as big as we expected in a lot of cases, 60, 70, 80%. That's creating problems somewhere. And like I said, why do I think it'll bail out? I mean, that's how we dealt with every problem. What, for the last 15, 17 years anyway. So I don't see him not doing anything. So quite honestly, even if we get some short-term turbulence, you know, maybe more commercial real estate defaults are good because, or maybe they're supportive of the blow-off scenario because they further guarantee that the Fed's going to have to step in and cut. So we'll have to watch. Outside of that, again, I think gold is still telling an interesting story. I think Bitcoin is still telling an interesting story. Little bit surprising here. I kind of thought these things would have blasted off with a little bit more momentum. When you look at how overextended this market is, I think you need to be careful short term if you're trading this thing. And if you're a long-term investor, know what you own. A lot of people own a lot of ridiculous stuff right now, a lot of stupid stuff. And like I've said to you guys before, I think the biggest pernicious thing about that, the most pernicious aspect about that is that there are really tremendous long-term values out there to take advantage of. Unfortunately, it's in the places that people no one's talking about. And so unfortunately, I think you got a bunch of people levered up owning a bunch of stuff that is massively extended, where the underlying fundamentals aren't that great. They've just got caught up in the whole meme side of it. And I think people are record unexposed. I know. I mean, gold's a perfect example. Go look at the retail positioning in gold. You've got lightest gold ownership in the average retail portfolio in history. And you guys know me, I'm not a gold bug. I'm just saying, you know, because this one style of stocks is one so long, everybody's just become way overexposed. It just kind of is what it is. So until then, we're going to be watching out for, this is where we need Chase. I don't know what real important. See, since I hired him full time, I'm not keeping up on the economic calendar anymore like I used to be, because that's his job. He's the head of research. So when he's out of town, man, I feel like I'm kind of running around with one arm. So anyway, we'll get him back on Wednesday and get dialed in with all the different news and stuff that's coming down the pipe. But again, it's for today. I think today's just kind of another sideways extension of what we've been looking for. I think the market is just hoping and praying for cuts. Based on the data I'm seeing, I think it'd be pretty hard to justify them, especially when you consider valuation, what's going on in crypto world. But also, let's look for a little short-term weakness here, because now you've kind of pulled back on several of these places, several of these indexes, several of these cryptos, Bitcoin. You've pulled a little off these all-time highs. It'd be a logical place to get some testing here and give everybody a little bit of a gut check. But, you know, in this market, maybe it's just taking a breather for its next leg up. So we'll keep an eye on that. But anyway, we will be back tomorrow with another edition of The Dots. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We will see you tomorrow. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.